Hey guys, and welcome back to Hard Rock Radio Live, where the music doesn't suck. I'm DJ Lovely Laura, rocking out with you guys today. Welcome inside my lovely lair. Well, I have a very special guest with me today. I don't think any lady could forget how this man licks and grinds his bass guitar back in the King Cobra days. I'm talking about the wild child, the very sexy and talented bass guitarist, Johnny Raw. Johnny, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm blind in Texas. The Lone Star is hot tonight.
Today, one or the other, I don't know.
Actually, hey, what's going on?
I'm just sitting there eating scrambled eggs. Hey, you know what? No, really, man, I'm just drinking some orange juice with moonshine in it. Knoxville, Tennessee. Woo!
Ooh, that sounds nice. I don't know if I could handle that.
Yeah, like a couple friends of mine over in Knoxville. Cheryl, somebody's knocking at the door. If it's the FBI, I'm not here.
And it damn sure could be.
If it's the cops, I'm not here. I'm kidding, man. Hey, how you doing? All right, go ahead. Anyway, I'm just actually sitting there relaxing for a little bit. I got kind of a head cold, man. Hey. What's up?
Yeah. You got a party going on already this morning?
Yeah, man, you know. Well, it says P-A-R-T-Y. He says, why? Because I gotta. No, I like when he goes, when Jim Carrey goes, somebody stop me.
I like him in Mask.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, in Mask. He goes, smoking.
All right, well, I'm loving the brand new King Cobra and stuff that's gone out. I've been listening to some of the tracks. You guys have a brand new singer, Paul Sortino, sounding...
Sortino, man, kick ass. The guy can sing, you know?
Oh, man, he sounds great. It sounds a little bit heavier, a little bluesier.
You know, but the thing, I mean, the original King Cobra, I remember, it was good. Mark Free, fantastic voice, he really did. I remember when I went out there and auditioned for the gig, and I heard this demo tape. Carmine says, here, listen to this demo tape, man, of this guy named Mark. And I said, and he was up there going, yeah! And I said, damn, this guy's great, man. And, Paul is just a little more heavier and bluesy, I think, man. But you know, Paul, he sings like a man, you know.
Right. So were you afraid that if you...
Like a man.
So were you afraid if you kept Mark in the band, you'd have to change the name to Queen Cobra?
I'm sorry you said that. I don't know, man, because when next time I see him, I'll probably get to say some ignorant shit to him.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll probably ask him to do things that I would normally ask a woman.
All right, so who got the band back together? Was it Carmine?
Who did what? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Who got the band back together for King Cobra?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I think it was, what happened was about 10 years ago. We were supposed to get back together in 2000. We were going to do a reunion then, and I was living in St. Louis, and it just didn't pan out. I don't think Mark really wanted to do it. I'm not sure exactly what all the reasons were, but it never happened. And so I didn't hear anything for 10 years, and then like last year, whatever it was, I think it was last year, Carmine gives me a call. He goes, hey, man, you're going to get through, because I've kept in contact with Carmine all these years, because he's a really good friend of mine, and I love the guy, you know. And he calls and says, hey, you're going to get your wish. And I said, what are you talking about, man? He said, we're going to do a King Cobra reunion. And I said, oh, really? I said, is it all the original guys? And he said, well, yeah, except for Marcy's not going to do it. I said, well, sorry to hear about it. I said, who's going to sing? He said, Paul Sortino. I said, right on. Because, you know, Paul's got, he's got a great, great soulful voice, man. The guy can, he just sounds good, I tell you. I like him.
Yeah, sounds really good. I'm loving that new track, Turn Up the Good Times. You guys did a killer video for that as well.
I don't know. It was kind of fun.
I didn't see you bumping and grinding on that one.
Well, I did. They just didn't put it in the video.
The uncensored version.
I probably did some stuff that was you couldn't show. I'm good for that kind of crap.
So are you guys going to head out?
What do they say, though, man? You know what they say. One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four. Four.
Four, exactly.
Four, yeah, F-L-O-R. Anyway, I got such a head cold, man. I tell you what, this time of year kills me, man. My allergies are killing me.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you're feeling today.
A little vitamin C with the moonshine.
So you guys going to be heading out on the road anytime soon this year or maybe next year?
Well, they're actually talking about, you know what, I spoke to Paul the other day, and they're actually talking about us doing another album before we hit the road. So I don't know right at this moment exactly what's happening, but I know that they're talking about us doing another album before we go out, so that'd be fine with me, man, you know, because, you know, I love playing with Carl, and the guy's like just such... It's like a monstrous drummer. You know how good he is. The guy's,
oh, he's incredible.
Like, he's like one of the original heavy rock drummers, man.
Right.
And I'm one of the original, you know what? I'm not sure what kind of original, what I am originally.
I think you're a great showman.
Oh, no, it's that, man. I just love the rock and roll. And I,
yeah. You know?
And it's like with me, it goes beyond just playing. It's just it's a whole experience.
Right. You're very passionate about it.
Well, that is true. That is true, man. But, well, you know, really, I don't drink anymore.
Really? Are you serious?
I don't drink any less either.
Can't get serious with this guy.
It's a little bit funny.
It is. I was laughing.
Yeah, you know, people say, hey, man, you're kind of a comedian, aren't you? And I said, no, more like a commodian.
Commodian? All right, Johnny, I want to hear about your first tattoo.
About my what?
Your first tattoo.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. I couldn't believe that, man. Because I've always said in my entire life, I was getting older, I'll never get a tattoo. I'll never get an earring. I never have had an earring. No piercings, but I was up in Pittsburgh doing some promotion for some for some people. And I played with a couple of musicians up there who asked me to play. And this guy named Don Matson, and he's in Pittsburgh. He's got a shop called Rockin' Tattoo. It's in Pittsburgh, and he talked me into it. You know, said, "Come on, you never have one." I don't know why. I guess I just gave in. And I got a thing on my arm. I figured I don't want to get something that was too symbolic of stuff that is temporary. You know, things in life are temporary. So
right.
I get something. You know, so I got the Italian colors, man. I got the Italian colors. It's kind of a thing. It says in a streaming type thing on my arm, and it says 100% American. I got the letter 100% American, but it's got the Italian colors because I'm Italian descent. My dad was born in Sicily.
Oh, wow.
I'm Italian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm making up and you can't refuse.
An Italian with bleach blonde hair.
What?
I like that.
My bleach. This is natural, man. My hair is naturally blonde. Somebody asked me on Facebook a while ago, they asked me how I did my hair like that back then, and I said, Aquanet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, if it's natural, you got to prove it.
Well, no, it's my hair dark brown, man. But
I know that. You can't be Italian and have blonde hair, come on.
It looks kind of out of the ordinary, you know?
Right.
And, but, you know, I'll tell you what, man, I'm from Texas. I love Texas. I really do. I'm not just saying that because you're down there. I just love Texas. Like I said, everything's bigger in Texas, man. Yeah, bigger. Oh, behave.
All right. Now, you were in Wasp as well. Now, you're really good friends with Chris Holmes. Tell me about the story, Johnny.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah. How you guys met.
Man, I got some stories of Chris I couldn't even tell. Even on the internet radio, I got to swear. But I love the guy, man. I think he's a great guy. He's got a heart of gold. He's just a wild man, you know.
Right.
And what people got to understand about Chris is all that, the way he is when you see him, what he does, that's really him. That's none of that is fake. None of that is put on. That's real. And that's what I love about him. He don't care. Like me.
Right. Well, that's the only way to be, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is to certain things in life, you know. Certain things you got. But the only things I have to care about, I care about. The rest of them, I'm laughing, man, because, you know, this ain't brain surgery, man. It's just rock and roll. People try to analyze it too much and try to get in depth and all this super psychological analysis. You know, this is rock and roll, man.
Right.
It ain't brain surgery. All right. You know, it's meant as entertainment, you know, and it's fantasy, man. It's really fantasy, you know. Nobody
right.
says it's fantasy. It's not reality, but you know, but it's fun, man. And you see, fun's the best thing to have.
Oh yeah, definitely fun and laughing. I think that's why the '80s era was just so much. Nobody took anything serious. It was just go to the clubs, have a good time, and just party. You know.
Well, I don't know. It's just things have changed since the 80s, but you know, I think that the 70s, personally, my opinion, as I grew up in the 70s, really, I mean, as a kid, and the era between 1970 and 1990 yielded some unbelievable music, man. And I mean, today, even today, you go to casinos, you go to shopping centers, you go to stores, and the music they're piping in is coming from the 70s and the 80s.
Right, that's true.
You know what I mean? I mean that seems to be my observation. I mean, wherever I go, whenever you hear piped in music in a store, an elevator, it's something between 1970 and 1990. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and I think that tribute bands are a wonderful thing because people really love that music. Right. A lot of these people, you know, we're getting older, and the thing is, we can't do it like that. So these tribute bands, I think, are going to be around for a long time.
Well, the tribute bands are around because they don't compare to what's out there today. You know, everybody misses that old school rock and roll.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. If I go out to a bar or a club or something, I don't want to see somebody playing Lady Gaga.
No doubt.
Oh, they see the music today, a lot of it today, it's fake.
Yeah.
It's all contrived and it's all fake and it's all done by machines.
Right.
When I play bass, you know, I play bass. Carmine plays drums. These guys that use guitars, we use our instruments. We make the music with the instrument. Today, people just push buttons and program stuff and then let that do it. And you see, and all this auto-tune crap with the vocals and all this thing, people won't even sing their parts anymore. When I was in King Cobra and Wasp, I sang with Blackie. Every night, I'd sing half of it. He'd sing and I would sing. We switched off.
If
you ever noticed some of the videos, man, he'll sing a couple lines and I'd sing a couple lines, you know?
I know. You were telling me.
We played it live, you know?
Yeah.
That's what real rock and roll, real music is about.
I know. You told me about that.
You see, it's all been processed, electronically processed so much to the point now it's not even human anymore.
Right. You sound great singing, too. I was talking to you about that the other day. I didn't even know that you sang half the songs when you were with Wasp, and I was watching some of the acoustic stuff, too. It sounded great.
I can do Pavarotti. No, I did. I went, won't you be somebody? Be somebody soon! Yeah.
Yeah, and I really...
Or my personal favorite. I got pictures of naked ladies on the bed! I'm fucked like a beast! Yeah, that was one of my personal favorites.
You guys sounded... Yeah, oh yeah. Probably not pictures, actual ladies, right?
Who? Yeah, me.
You guys sounded a lot alike.
Any of the stuff they said I did.
I'll find out.
No, but Chris Holmes. Anyway, Chris Holmes, man. I had him on a radio interview a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
It was hilarious, man. He had the whole place. He had us all cracking up. I wish I could get him on the phone. I got his number. I should probably call him. I know. Wake his dumb ass up. Get him on the radio right now.
Oh,
he's the mean, the original mean motherfucking man. Because I'm a mean motherfucking man. I got to scream. Sounds just like it, doesn't it?
Hey, Johnny, I prefer to do my men one at a time.
What?
I said I prefer to do my men one at a time because you said you were going to call Chris to get him on the line.
nobody can handle me and Chris together, believe me.
All right, well, we got a listener in here, Diamond Jim, I think, wants to know about the 30th anniversary tour coming up and how you guys all...
Who's Diamond Jim? Is he on the internet? You looking at him right now?
I'm looking in the chat room right now. He just asked the question, yeah.
Hey, Diamond Jim, you listening, man? Where you at, man? Tell him to ask you where he is so I can answer that question.
All right, Diamond Jim, where are you from? Let us know where you're from.
Whoa.
Well, I'll probably have to wait a minute for him to type that out. But
I know. Okay. What do you want to know about that? The 30 years of thunder, Thunderhead.
Yes.
Would you die for me? Yes, Master. That's why that song Thunderhead. Headless Children album, man. The real me. That bass part. Oh yeah.
All right. He's from Indianapolis.
Oh yeah, Indianapolis. Yeah. I was just there. About a month or so ago.
Bloomington.
Actually, I was in the airport. Hey, Diamond Jim, what's up, man? But you know, I don't have a lot of details on it right now, but I've just seen it on there. And, you know, the more when I get more details about it, man, I'll let everybody know because, you know, it's just, it's 11 and a half months away.
Okay.
And, you know, even if I did know, I couldn't say anything yet right now. A little early, but I tell you what, man, can you imagine that? Doing all the Wasp stuff from the beginning up to now and having all those players, like all those key players throughout the years, man. That would kick ass.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome to have all you guys back on the stage. I don't know how you would do it.
I'd love to play with Frank Vanelli, man, because me and him on the Real Me on the Headless Children album, that was like thunder, man. Thunder, power, thunder. I'm not even me and him together. Whoa! Check out the Real Me, man.
I love that you guys had the best lineup ever. You, Frankie, Chris, and Blackie, that was the best.
Well, you know that video, for anybody who doesn't know this, if you ever noticed that video, The Real Me, you ever seen it, Laura?
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's the same warehouse in downtown L.A. where Metallica filmed their video One.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at the video, you'll see in the back there. See, we were in the middle of the room, and there was we were set up, and this car was driving around us. They had the camera in the back seat. That's how they got that circular motion. But if you look over in the corner, you see the same windows as in the One video from Metallica, because they set up when they did the videos back there. They set up back there by the windows.
Oh wow!
That's the same warehouse in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't know if anybody ever knew that.
So, did you ever meet those guys? Did you get along with Metallica?
Man, me and Chris stole James' vodka. We were playing in Donington in 1987, man, Cass Donington Festival, and we're backstage. It was Cinderella, Anthrax, Wasp, Metallica, Dio, and Bon Jovi. So it was on the bill, you know, over there in England, you know, Monster Rock, Cass Donington, and we came back off stage, and they went on stage, and we ran out of something to drink. So me and Chris went over in the dressing room and stole his vodka.
Did he ever find out?
Oh, man, they came out like maniacs. When they came out stage, they came back and goes, "Who's talking about fucking song?" And Chris was going, "Fuck you!" And yelling across the winter, "Fuck you!"
Okay, I have a question.
I have no idea some of the shit that's going on behind the scenes. That was the most fun. Playing on stage is great. I love it. But the most fun was the shit we did after that.
All right, you want to fill us in on something like that?
Like what?
Something that went on afterwards.
Like who? Who's got a question from?
I know. I have a question. I have a question for you, Johnny. I want to know why they call you the Quack Man.
They call me Quack.
The Quack Man.
That started years ago, man. That's like what that is. If anybody was listening, they seen me write that. It started way before I ever even went to L.A. Back in the '70s, man. I mean, my older brother. Whenever someone would. Whatever person would like whine or complain, you know what I mean? Like, we go quack, quacking, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where that came from, man.
Ah,
you're quacking. It's like, so when everybody whines or complains or says something stupid, it's like quack. That's where it came from. All these people are listening. So when you see me write that, it's because I'm going. It's basically saying, shut the fuck up.
I actually read too, I think, were you a drummer before you were a bass player?
Actually, I was. I started playing, that's the instrument I played was drums at first when I was like 8, 9 years old. And then I started, I've been playing for about 44 years. And when I was 8 years old, I started playing. The first thing I did was do drums. Did that for a while, and I decided I wanted to learn the guitar. So I started taking guitar lessons. So I did that for about 4.5 years. And then when I was 13, I saw a band. Saw a band playing, and the guy was playing bass, and it was low and it was deep, and it was so cool. I said, shit, that's what I want to do, man. I want to learn how to play that. So I stopped taking guitar lessons, and I taught myself the bass. I continued playing bass from then on, and, you know, I just like, because it's the whole bottom end of the band, man, the rhythm section, the drums and the bass. You know, if your rhythm section, I don't give a damn, you can be the most fantastic guitar player, keyboard player, singer in the world, but if your rhythm section sucks, then you sound like shit, man, because you really do, because it's got to be tight. The bass and the drums are the whole bottom of the band. It's the whole balls of the band. That's why me and Frank Vanelli were so fucking good together, me and Carmine, because it's like ain't nothing can stop it, you know, but you got to be tight, man. It's got to be like you're one person, man. You got to be like one person playing together. And me and Stett Howland, you know?
Right.
Riley, you know? You got a lock.
Mm. Wait,
that's the whole power. That's the power. That's your whole power base, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, well, it is.
It is. Like,
that's why I get up on stage. I'm just like, it's like, I feel like I can run outside and pick up a house.
I bet you could.
And you know what, man? I still do that today. I went and jammed this past August. I went up to Full Throttle Saloon up in Sturgis during bike week, Harley Bike Week, and I jammed with a band called Big Gun. Some friends of mine from Knoxville, Tennessee, they're a AC/DC tribute band.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Oh yeah, it was on the internet, man. I went up there and played when they asked me to come and play. So that's where I got the moonshine from. You know my moonshine.
I know all.
anyway, but that's the truth, man. I mean, you see, what I learned, anybody listening, man, if you're a musician, always remember this, man. Nobody can do what you do better than you.
Right.
I can't do what this other guy's going to say. You know, I'm not as good as him. I'm not as good. But you know what? They're not as good as me. He's not as good as me. Nobody can do what you do better than you.
Right.
Don't try to be somebody else.
Right.
You want to learn from other people, of course. Well, because they do and learn and this and that. But don't ever try. Don't try to be somebody else because, you know, nobody can do what you do better than you. And that's to say, I don't consider myself that great, but all I know is that, you know what, I'm going to have fun. If I ain't having fun, I won't do it anymore because, you know, I never got into this. I never got into it for the money. I never got into it for any of that stuff. I got into it because I love to do it.
Right.
Another crap, that's all great. It's wonderful. It's great benefits. It's a wonderful thing to have money, make money, do all that shit. But you know what, in the end, I go to bed and I look in the mirror and I go, ain't nobody standing behind me going, yeah, Ron, Johnny Ron, you're great. You know, it's just me looking in the mirror going, you know, am I satisfied with you? And I look at myself I look at myself in the mirror and I'm happy. And that's really what it is, man, in the end. Regardless of all the crazy shit, I just do crazy shit because it's fun as hell.
Because that's who you are. That's your personality, right? Exactly, right? That's your personality?
Yeah, that's the personality. I mean, it's just really me. It's just not.
Right, on or off stage, that's Johnny Rod.
Well, because when you get him on stage, people came there, they paid money, they want to be entertained, so I give them something. I can't just stand there like I see so many people do. I don't get that. I just can't stand there.
Right.
I mean, I want to entertain them as far as humanly possible as I can. I give every ounce of energy every single time. Every performance, I always have.
I heard you got the last name Rod as a sexual reference.
The name Rod is a sexual reference.
Don't do that. I did my research.
Ooh, well, you know what, man? I got that name in 1978, and that's true. 6 years before I ever even went to L.A.
Uh-huh.
I was playing on a boat in downtown St. Louis. There was this boat called the Admiral. He used to go up and down the river. Excursions like 5 nights a week, and they had band down the stairs and a ball, and they had a band upstairs, and my band was a rock band on the fourth deck of the Admiral in St. Louis. And one night, this guy that worked, one of the roadies for our band, he introduced me to this woman named Nina.
Isn't she your wife? Is that your wife?
Anyway, she talked me into giving her a ride home. It wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Anyway, I gave her a ride home, and one thing led to another, man, and the next morning we were kind of just, this is a true story, everybody, we were just kind of laying there talking and joking and talking about things. I mean, I was only 20 years old, man. She was 18.
Right.
Woo! But you were legal, so don't worry about it. And so I, you know, we were just joking and laughing, and she made some references, right?
Right.
To a certain thing. And I started laughing, and I made a joke. I said, yeah, right, Johnny Rod. That's real funny. I started laughing. And it's true, and I'm sitting there, I look, and I said, you know what? I said, that would be a great name for a stage name.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start using that. As, you know, it started out just kind of like as a joke.
Right.
Started using it from then on. And then in 84, I went to L.A., when I signed the Capitol Records with Carmine and King Cobra, I just still had the name Johnny Rod. Yeah, it was a sexual reference. Matter of fact, it was, yes.
A good sexual reference, at least.
You know what my real name is, but that's the key.
You say, I don't know if I can say it right.
Yeah,
say it. Tamenilo.
That's because the FBI might come and get me. Fuck the FBI. Did I say that?
Wait, say your last name, your real last name.
It's Tumelo.
Tamelo. Did I say it right?
No, it's Siciliano, man.
Tamelo.
Okay, everybody. Hey. Anyway. I'm Italian, man, like Carmine the Peace, like Paul Sortino Italian, we're Italian. So now you got three Italians in the band, and you got Dave Michael Phillips, Dave Hensley, and Mick Sueda, man. Them guys are crazy.
So how did you hook up with King Cobra? You're from St. Louis, you went to L.A. How old were you when you went to L.A.?
I was 26, man.
Uh-huh.
I got a chance to, some friends of mine called me from L.A., and they said they saw an ad, and they actually, the way I got the gig was, I was in St. Louis playing in bar bands, and they were out there, they had been gotten a gig with Steppenwolf. They were roadies for Steppenwolf, guys that I worked with.
Yeah.
And they were 2 o'clock in the morning one night. They were up and they were looking around at 7-Eleven because they couldn't sleep because they were in the middle of a blinding snowstorm. Too much cocaine, probably. But anyway, they couldn't sleep. They saw this ad. They came across this ad in Musician Magazine, and it said, Carmine Appice wants young, aggressive bass player from heavy metal band. Must sing great, must play great, must look great, blondes only.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yeah, it was perfect. They called me back in St. Louis. And I called the next day and literally talked them into letting me audition because they had already, as far as I knew, they had already chosen some guy. They had told me, and I had literally talked them into letting me come out to L.A. Auditioning because I was being myself, you know, like, wow, I could sing, man, stuff like that, you know, on the phone.
Right.
I think Carmine was intrigued. He was like, damn, let's go check this guy out just for the hell of it.
Right.
I flew out there, man. I flew out there. And just my guitar. I didn't know any songs or anything. I had to go up there and went over to Carmine's house and learn the songs right there on the spot and auditioned and got the gig. That's how it happened.
Wow, that's incredible.
I know, that's how simple it was. It was no big deal, you know.
So why did he want everybody to be blonde? Did he want to be the one with the black sheep, the black hair, just the one oddball out in the band like that?
Well, no, I think it was because, I can't remember what he told me. Like, there was another band where everyone was dark hair, and it was one. Oh, I think it was Motley Crue.
Right.
I think he got the idea because they were dark and said blonde.
Right.
So then Carmine wanted to do the opposite, be dark and then all blonde. So that was, I think that's what his idea was at the beginning, you know.
Right.
And the pink in the hair, I don't know where the hell that came from, but I didn't give a shit. I was getting paid. Plus, But I remember playing in Dallas, man, Reunion Arena. We did Reunion Arena in Dallas there, and we did it again with Kiss. Man, Reunion's gone. That was a great place.
I know. I can't believe it's gone. Too many memories there.
What do you mean too many?
Too many great memories. It's just sad to see it go. You know, when you grew up going to see all the cool concerts there, it's like, oh, it's
Well, that's like in my hometown of St. Louis, man. There was a place called the Arena. I saw Led Zeppelin and Alice Cooper and Pink Floyd in 1973 at that place, you know?
Right.
In 73, man. Saw some great shows, I'll tell you what. And then it's gone, you know? So no, I know what you mean, you know? But I live in Vegas now, but I love Las Vegas, man. It's like, what happens in Vegas goes everywhere with me.
Well, some of your friends are over here in the chat room. You know, Doc Rock stopped by. MQ.
Doc Rock, he's great. Doc's funny, man. Hey, yeah. Doc. Torn down by guy. Anyway,
MQ.
I love living in Vegas, though, because, I just like the landscape, man. I like the weather. I like the fact that you got a choice 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, whatever you want. If you want it, you can get it, you know?
Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, it's true, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't really gamble because, you know, I don't want to give them my money. I mean, I've gambled enough in my life. With my whole life. Every once in a while, though, we go out and gamble a little bit. I win a little money, but, you know. But anyway, but the new album, man, King Cobra, now everybody's heard it, man. You know, you know what? One of the songs I really like on it is called You Make It Easy.
I think
it's like number 9 or 10, man.
Uh-huh.
And I just like the whole feel of the song, you know.
Right.
It's just such a cool song, and Dave and Mick are such killer guitar players, man. I mean, and Paul, you know, he just, you know, what can I say? You know, when you play with professionals like these guys, you know, they make it effortless.
Right.
Yeah. So I told Carmine. I said, Carmine, so what do you think of the drum tracks I play? I said, man, when you play with a guy like Carmine or Frank Vanelli or Stead or somebody, Stead Holland, you know, it just, they make it, for a bass player, they make it so effortless, man. It's like, I just sit there and go to sleep and let my fingers do it. I don't even have to think about it because I know they're going to be spot on no matter what. And that's the mark of a true professional, man. And that's why, I've gotten spoiled. I've been really lucky to get to play with some fantastic drummers, man.
You really have. You really have, Johnny.
I get spoiled playing with them because when I play with someone who's not that caliber, I just, you know, I'm just spoiled. I act like get it right, man. But I gotta realize that some people have capacity and some don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that's just such a great thing, and I love the way that you stayed so humble and so grounded, you know, in spite of the fact.
I always remember where I come from. You see, the only difference, you see, they can say I'm a rock star or whatever I've done, but here's the point, Laura. The point is this, man. The only difference between me and somebody who doesn't do this is I get paid for what I love to do.
Right.
Okay? And I've never forgotten that, you see. And I will never, ever get that rock star attitude, you know. Somebody asked me an autograph. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just like them. I'm just like them. I just get paid for what I love to do. And I got a wonderful chance to do it, and I grabbed it, and I took it, you know.
Right.
And I never gave up, man. That was what I dreamt of doing since I was 7 years old.
Well, I think...
I remember where I came from, man.
Right.
Yeah, I won't let that shit go to my head. I remember where I came from.
I think that makes people stand out from the rest, the stars and the people that do, because they love it, and they don't forget where they came from, you know, and they treat their fans personal, you know?
And also, the fans are the ones that put me where I am.
Exactly.
Okay? So, how could I forget the very people that put me where I am?
Exactly.
Or put me up there, however you want to describe it, you know?
Right. Well, Johnny...
I mean, I'll just... It's funny, because a guy describes as great... That band I told you about, Big Gun, that's friends of mine from Knoxville, Tennessee, who had the AC/DC tribute band I jammed with, he said, when I first met him, I was in Pittsburgh, I had done that tattoo thing I was telling you about, and the guy said, and Doc Rock and him, said, let's go down to Hard Rock, you know, and get something. I said, okay. So we go in, and there's some band playing. They were the AC/DC band. It was those guys. I didn't know them yet, though. And so... So here's me, I'm out there drinking Heineken, man, and I got the beer in there, and they do that song, Have a Drink on Me, and I get the beer. I walk out in front of the stage on the dance floor and just took a big drink and went, boom.
You just spit it on everybody?
And then we come up and jam with them, right? We got to jam with them. We did Highway to Hell. I love that song, man. And afterwards, Andy was talking to me sometime later. He says, you know what I love about you? I said, what? He said, man, it's like when you were out there in the audience, you were like one of those people out there. And then when you were up here, you were playing. I said, yeah, Andy. I said, when I'm out there, I'm one of those people. When I'm up on the stage, I'm one of those people.
Exactly.
You know, I'm up on the stage, that's me. And then I'm out here, I'm one of the fans out here like a maniac. I said, I won't sit back in a chair and critique and say, well, I don't know about these guys. I look around at musicians that do that all the time, and I just laugh my ass off at them. Yeah, because they sit back and they go, well, I'm not sure what I think of this. Shut up, man. Shut the fuck up. Get up and have a good time. I'm there to have a good time. I'm not there to critique the band.
That's right. Well, Johnny, it's been a...
I love that when he said that. He goes, man, when you're out there, you were one of them. When you were up on the stage, you were one of those. I said, that's right.
Well, Johnny, you are too much. You are awesome. And I'm so glad to see you guys back together, putting together this new album. I can't wait for some tour information about the Wasp and the King Cobra. You got to get your ass to Texas for me. Say something to your fans out there before we get out of here.
It's something. Something.
Smart ass.
I got somebody. You fist by the other one. Shut up. Anyway, what can I say? I don't know. To the fans?
Yeah, to your fans and everybody.
Say to the fans, anybody listen, man, I can't wait to hit the road, whether it be King Cobra or Wasp. I hope it's both. I hope we do King Cobra tour here soon if we do another album. And then next year, Wasp goes out in September. I can't wait to see all of you, man. And I tell you what, whoever's listening and whoever just come up to me, man, no matter who I am, just come up and just grab me and say, hey, come here, man. Turn around and say, you ready to get crazy?
That's right, and if your girl, just go up and grab his ass.
What?
I said, and if you're a chick, just go up and grab Johnny's ass.
Well, that's right, man. And then if you want to grab the other thing, you know.
if you want to grab the Rodster.
Oh, no, man. Oh, God. No, but can I come up and, you know, just come up to me, man, and say, what's up? See, I stalked you on Facebook. I'm so-and-so. And I'll go, who the fuck are you? Nah, I wouldn't do that, man. Just come up to me and say hi, man, because, see, I love that shit.
All right, cool, Johnny. Well, thanks for coming on today. Hold on just a second, all right?
All right. Hey, thank y'all later, man.
All right, you guys. Once again, that was the Wild Child himself, bass guitarist Johnny Rod of King Cobra and Wasp. Hope you guys enjoyed that live interview. I'm going to have it podcasted today up there on the Facebook page. You can also find Johnny over there on Facebook. Check out what he's up to and go pick up that brand new King Cobra album. Here's another great tune from the guys. This is Screaming for More.